WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have been flooded by information, some of it not all that great. I recently spoke with Dr. Dan O'Hare, professor in the College of Communication and Information and university research professor, about his new book, Communicating Science in Times of Crisis, COVID-19 Pandemic. Dan, thank you so much for talking with me today. You know, communication is key in all walks of life. And I like to tell my physician trainees, you can technically be amazing at what you do, but if you can't communicate what you're doing, then I guess rhetorically, what good are you? And so I was fascinated to learn about a book that you and others have put together about communication during the pandemic age. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Greg. My wife and I were on sabbatical a couple of years ago. We'd stepped down as deans from being deans for 9 years, and were itching to get to a major project, and we were finishing one up, and the pandemic hit. And in March, of course, of 2020, and we got to talking about how interesting a context this is, because it just turned everyone's worlds upside down. And so we had a publisher. It was Wiley Blackwell. It's a very, very old publishing house out of London in New York. And we were doing a book, like I said, a book with them. And we approached them and said, how about a book on back then everybody called it coronavirus. We said, how about a book on coronavirus? And they said, oh, my goodness, that sounds fascinating. How fast can you get it to us while the virus and the pandemic are still here? Because if you recall, we thought this was going to wrap up fairly soon. We never thought that we'd still be in it in June of 2021. They said, you've got to hurry. And we said, on our end, you've got to hurry, because publishing houses are so slow. And so we came to an agreement and agreed to make this a one-year project, and it worked out. We actually finished it in 11 and a half months because we had such good authors that were working with us on this project.
As somebody who's been involved in putting together books before, that's a pretty amazing pace right there.
Well, we thought so, too. We burned the midnight oil, and we bugged our contributing authors about it as well, and they were very, very kind and responding.
Well, and you know, one of the things we hear a lot about, Dan, are lack of information, misinformation, and disinformation. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what the distinctions are?
I sure can. I'm glad you asked that question, because there's probably 3 to 4 chapters out of the entire book, which runs well over 20 chapters, that are about misinformation. In fact, the second chapter of the book that is written by Dr. Brian Spitzberg from San Diego State, the title of this chapter is Comprehending COVIDicity Communication. Now, he invented that term. And his subtitle is Misinformation, Conspiracy Theory, and Fake News. And the chapter runs, 50 pages or so in the book. And he gets the drop, literally, on all of the scientific information that has been written about any type of mis or disinformation regarding COVID-19. There's others that are misinformation about using messages with children that are misinformation. There's misinformation in the use of public warnings about COVID-19. And so I would say it's fairly full of that type of content. Now, you ask about the differences in them. They're subtle. Misinformation is sometimes often referred to as non-intentional. Someone hears something and then they pass it along. They don't know that they're the information is not necessarily fully true. This information is more intentional, and it is meant to mislead the receiver of the message. And then fake news is we've all learned what that is through media and social medias, where there's just an invention of information designed to misguide and mislead the receiver.
Well, and you know, we all just sustain this onslaught of information from multiple sources, and I certainly have those sources that I've come to know and trust. Do you have any pointers for folks who maybe are a little bit overwhelmed at just the sheer volume coming at them?
Yeah, and frankly, Greg, this is communication theory that a lot of people learn in, you know, Comm 101 in college, and that is the very first thing that I recommend, and a lot of people recommend, is to gauge the source. Now, it may be someone that you trust, and then you ask them, where did you get that information, and can I access it myself? And so source credibility is enormously important to determine whether or not this aligns with not only reality, but in your own value system, because that plays a big role in whether or not an individual decides to make decisions. We did some hurricane and tornado research years ago, and what we found is that it depends on whether or not they will shelter in place or whether or not they'll evacuate these very severe storms. Depends on their value system, and it depends on how much faith you have in the person that just told you this information. Because people will always try to seek a second source on when they're faced with making a decision.
Well, certainly, yeah, confirmation of sources, and I know I have my favorite places. Of course, NPR being one of those, because I know they fact check, and they also apologize when they get things wrong, and not every source will do that. I guess in some ways it's reader beware or listener beware when it comes to learning more about a pandemic in the midst of a pandemic. Are you seeing any patterns or trends that surprised you in, as far as communication?
What we saw as surprising, if you will, is the scope of the context that have investigated how you communicate science in a challenging environment. So, for example, we found out that one of our colleagues here at UK was working with architects of hospitals and healthcare facilities, and COVID had influenced their thinking about how they design hallways and stations and things of that nature. We learned in a different context that some people down in Orlando, Florida, developed a TV show similar to Mr. Rogers and others that were age appropriate on communicating to them what some of the most important terms were in the COVID-19 pandemic, and acted them out like, again, age appropriate, so that they understood when they heard things how to make some decisions and how to place judgment on the veracity of that information.
Well, Dan, before we part, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd want our listeners to know?
Well, no, Greg, I really appreciate you reaching out, and I appreciate the empathy that you expressed about how long it takes to put a book out, because we were surprised that they put forth the effort to get this out. We hope that it can make a difference. The books, as you know, for scholarly books like this, it's intended mainly for college campuses and especially college libraries, but I think the publisher went to great lengths to make sure that the illustrations and the figures and tables were attractive looking, so that other people might be drawn to the book other than just academics. We hope so. That's what the book was intended to do.
My thanks today to Dr. Dan O'Hare, professor in the College of Communication and Information and University Research Professor, for talking with me about his new book, Communicating Science in Times of Crisis, COVID-19 Pandemic. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.